We just started a book study last week, the book of Jude. So if you'd like to open your Bibles there, we'll warn you, Jude is a tough book. It's harsh. You might not be ready for it, but we need it. We need these warnings. And God gave this book to us for a purpose. And so we're going to try and take heed to what God says. And hopefully it'll help us. Book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. And we'll just read what we read last week. We'll read it again. Verse number 1. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take heed to this warning here that you've given us and preserved for us. We pray, Father, that you'll speak to our hearts and help us to keep an eye out for the things you're telling us to keep an eye out for and to not even give them place among our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'd teach us today what you want us to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so in verse 1, them that are sanctified by God the Father. In verse 1, them that are preserved in Jesus Christ. And also in verse 1, them that are called. In verse 2, the recipients of mercy and peace and love. In verse 3, the beloved of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has inspired these words. These are the words of God. So these people are beloved of God. And they all have one thing in common. They're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's common salvation, common to all of them. And yet, the subject of this letter is an exhortation. It's a charge, a fervent appeal that they earnestly contend for that very faith that saved them, that very faith that sanctified them, that very faith that made them beloved of God. It's in jeopardy. And guess what? It's not in jeopardy because of the government over there in Rome. And it's not in jeopardy because of the scribes and the Pharisees in Jerusalem. And it's not in jeopardy because of the Buddhists and the Taoists in the Far East. And it's not in jeopardy because of the Mongol hordes over in India. And it's not in jeopardy because of the idolaters in Africa. Their faith is in jeopardy, verse 4, because there are certain men crept in unawares. Jude is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's telling saved, born-again people, they are going to have to earnestly contend for the faith within the boundaries of their fellowship, because the devil is going to send in one man after another, or one group after another, or one woman after another, or even a group of women after another, to try and pervert the work of God among them. And because God is love, and because God's people are to be loving, because God is gracious, and God's people are to be gracious, and because God is kind, and God's people are to be kind, there's a danger that the church will tolerate people and tolerate teachings that should not be tolerated. There's a danger that in the name of church growth and in the name of expansion and in the name of getting everybody we can under the sound of God's word, that we will allow the devil to get a foothold in the church house. I want you to see in verses 1 through 3, he is writing to saved people. And in verse 4, he tells them to watch out for someone trying to creep in to their fellowship and ruin what God has established there. Now look in verse number 4. Certain men. Verse number 8. These. Verse 10. But these. Verse 11. For they. Verse 12. These. Verse number 16. These. Verse number 19. These. Verses 4 through 19 are all about that same class of people. You have all of these verses in which 24 particular details are outlined because God did not want you to fail to recognize and to be able to identify these perverters of the truth when they came in and tried to pervert the church. Well-known atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare has done nothing to damage the church. Saved seminary professors with an NIV, they've just about ruined it. The bartenders in town, they don't hurt the church. It's saved people who teach their children that they can live like the devil and still love the Lord as long as they say that they love the Lord, who try and pervert the rest of the young people in the church house. That's who does the damage. Listen, the Jehovah's Witnesses or a Mormon, if they told you, thus saith the Lord, you wouldn't pay attention to them for even 5 minutes. But if a wife-swapping, beer-sipping, saved man said, thus saith the Lord, you might tend to listen to him, and there's a danger of that. Now look what the Bible says about these people. I'm just going to read it. And we'll break it down in future lessons. There's going to be plenty more. It's hard to believe what we're going to be able to get out of Jude. There's a lot here. But there's 24 things God says about these certain men. Number one, they creep in unawares. They're sneaky. Number two, in verse number 4, they are ungodly men. They talk about God, but they're not like him. Number 3, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. We'll get back to that in a minute. Number 4, denying the only Lord. They don't deny God, they just deny his lordship. In verse number 8, they defile the flesh. They despise dominion. They speak evil of dignities. In verse number 10, they speak evil of those things which they know not. Verse 10, they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Verse 12, number 13 on the list, these are spots in your feast, clouds without water, trees whose fruit withereth. Verse number 13, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. Verse 16, murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, great swelling words. Verse 19, they separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. God said, for, because men like this will show up in the church house, you have got to be ready to earnestly contend for the faith. Now listen, everybody, every one of us murmurs from time to time. And every one of us is sensual from time to time. Everybody does some of these things from time to time, but we are told in the book of Jude to be on guard for those who try to teach the body of Christ that such sinful practices are acceptable in the eyes of God. We're all sinners. We know that. We're not proud of it, but we do know it. Okay, we all fall short of what God would have us to be. We know that. But those who respond with sorrow and repentance and a desire to allow Jesus Christ to continue his work in their life so that they can be more holy, they're not the problem. There's no problem there. But those that begin to whisper, those that begin to draw disciples away, and those that begin to start suggesting to people in the church that, oh, it's so legalistic around here, isn't it? And, oh, they're so negative, and, oh, they're so narrow-minded, and, oh, you don't really think that that's a sin, do you? You don't think it's bad, do you? Well, I mean, we do those things, and we love the Lord, and, hey, the Lord loves us. And God said, you better watch out for that garbage. That is a moral and spiritual pervert. And they're all the more dangerous because they smile and they carry a Bible and they say they love the Lord. And they'll volunteer for Sunday school class and they'll volunteer for a ministry. If there's an opening at the mission, they're going to be there. If there's an opening at the nursing home, they'll be there. Why? Because it's one more chance for them to have a little influence. And you better watch it. Better watch it. Okay, now what is the underlying theme of all of their activities? Look in verse number 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Okay, now look. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's a big fancy word. That's simply loose living. Okay, loose living. Now, I am saved by the grace of God. I am preserved by that same saving grace. I am saved forever. Because God saves by grace, not by my works. I couldn't get saved by my works. I don't stay saved by my works. Therefore, I'm saved now, and I'm saved forever, because salvation is by the grace of God. Because God has been so good to me in saving me by his grace, I want to live for him. And because God is so wise, and because God is so perfect in all his ways, I want to bring my life into conformity with God's word. Now, do I do that all the time? No, I don't. I'm not proud of it, but when I don't, I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to cover it up. I'm not going to think up an alibi for it. I'm not going to lie about it. No, I say, look, I'm rotten. God hates what I did. I've told him I'm sorry and I'm asking you to pray for me that I won't do it again. Now, that's the normal Christian life. But these creeps, that's what God calls them. What is it to creep in unawares? That makes you a creep, right? That's what we're talking about. The creep says, why, you're saved by grace. God, he's all grace, and God is love, and God loves you, and he loves you forever, and he can't ever love you any less than he does right now. So what difference does it make how you live? You better watch that garbage, no matter how it's presented. And when you hear it, the Bible says you need to get on the contention committee and stand up against it. Young lady, it does matter how you dress. God said so. Young man, it does indeed matter how you conduct yourself. God said so. Sir, it does indeed matter how you spend your days. God said so. Ma'am, it does indeed matter how you treat your husband and your children. God said so. And when somebody tells you the saving grace of God is a license to sin, to live loosely, God said, those are the people that are ruining his church. Not the devil, not the atheist, not the bartender, not the dope dealer, but that bunch right there. That bunch. Okay, now let's take a look at this creeping. How these creeps creep about. They never come in straight up. They're never honest. Here's the problem. Look at the end of verse 4. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what their problem is? They didn't say that they, I didn't say they weren't saved. They are saved. Most of them are saved, but they just resent the fact that Jesus Christ wants to be Lord, their Lord. Well, you say, are you one of those lordship salvation guys? Well, the very way you curl up your nose makes me kind of afraid of you. No, you're not saved by keeping the commandments. And you don't stay saved by keeping the commandments. But if you are saved, you ought to recognize that it wasn't just Jesus that saved you. And it wasn't the Christ that saved you. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who saved you. And the Bible still says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, there's not any such thing in your Bible as a doctrine of lordship salvation. But you'd better be afraid of the man who uses that term to condemn and criticize the preaching of righteousness. That's what's happening. That's what these creeps do. You got these people in your town. The same people are here. You know, knock on their door, tell them to bow their head, repeat these 10 words, shake his hand, tell him he's going to heaven, and then you leave him there drunk. Leave him a drunk. Leave him in the same condition you found him in. That's no gospel anywhere in the Bible. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. You won't find one verse in the Bible that says Jesus Christ saves anybody from hell. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. He saves sinners from their sin. Now, if you've been born again, he wants to be actively involved in the ongoing daily process of saving you from the sins that you're going to commit. I'm saved from the penalty, but I want to be saved from the practice of sin. You better watch this crowd that's saved from the penalty and not concerned about the practice. Better watch them. You need to watch them because they're creeps. They're creeps. So how do you know they're creeps? Because they don't tell you what they believe until they're already trying to mess people up. You might have a little group over for a cookout to your house one night. I don't mind having a group over for a cookout, but when you get there to that cookout and they start trying to erode your confidence in the teaching and the preaching of God's word that you hear from the church house, you ought to just pack up your hot dog and your hamburger and go home. I mean, at least get a burger out of that trip. But that creep is there. He's going to mess you up. Sure do love the church. I mean, we don't agree with everything, but it's all you need right there. That's the clue. why did they invite you over to discuss the part that they don't agree with? Well, most everything, I mean, probably 99% of what they do down there, we agree with, but, there's just a couple of things. Well, let's talk about those 99. I'm all for that. Which one you want to talk about? Oh, well, that's just all the big things. But there's just a couple of little things. Why do they keep throwing that line out there? They cast that line out there, and they reel it back in. They cast it out there again, and they reel it in. And they just keep throwing that line out there till you take the bait. Why? They want to talk about those one or two things. And I'll tell you what they are. They're usually some point of righteousness. It's not about doctrine. It's never doctrine. It's that little sip of booze they enjoy every now and then. It's that little trip down to the movie house every now and then. You understand? They're not against the Trinity. They're not against the virgin birth. They're not against the deity of Jesus Christ. They're not even against the King James Bible. Well, I just don't see why you have to do that. Do you have to be here today? Anybody have to be here today? You didn't have a choice, okay? I'm not here today because I have to be. I'm here because I want to be. God wanted me to be here, and I want to be with Him. And I didn't read my Bible today because I had to. I wanted to. But man, you better watch that crowd that's so grieved about having to read their Bible and having to go to church. And they say, well, I don't think you have to go. What's this have to stuff? It's a heart attitude. That's what it is. All right, let's look at some things here. Look at Galatians chapter 2. It's a resentment for God's commands on their life. Galatians chapter 2. Fighting the air conditioner up here. All right. Galatians chapter 2. That bunch that belongs to the First Universal Church of the Living Room. Listen, the problem is not all the churches in town. The problem is that every time they get in church, somebody's telling them something that they need to do. And they don't want to be anywhere where somebody's telling them what to do. You see. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse number 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in. False brethren, unawares, brought in. See, that's the creeps. Sneaky. Who came in privately to spy out their liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Okay, now look, there are some men already in, and they have brought in some others of their crowd with them. And look at the response, verse number 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now look, just like in Jude, they had the gospel, they had the truth, but he's concerned with their continuing in that truth. And there are some people coming in from the outside, trying to be part of them, who have as their intention to turn them away from the truth. Outside, trying to be part of them, who have as their intention to mess them up. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever read the works by John Wesley, but you ought to lay down what John Wesley preached about holiness next to what any Methodist preacher is saying today. You wouldn't recognize it. His Methodism was not the Methodism of today. His was holy. What happened to Methodism? Well, some creeps got in there. Some creeps got in. The Southern Baptist Convention, they took a vote in 1984. to determine that it's wrong to ordain women to be pastors. It took them 40 years of debate to get around to agreeing with the plain statements of the Bible. And that vote resulted in a whole bunch of churches pulling out and starting their own denomination, because they don't like what the Bible clearly says. How did it get to that point? Some creeps in the Bible school taught the kiddies who are now in the pulpits. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. And by the way, Rick Warren and his purpose-driven Saddleback Church recently ordained 3 women during a Mother's Day service. Isn't that sweet? And there are leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention who called for the expulsion, the removal of Saddleback Church from the convention. Say, well, the Bible says, oh yeah, well, but which Bible? Well, the Bible says, yeah, but which manuscripts? Well, the Bible says, well, you can't know for sure. Well, the Bible says, well, that was just Paul, you know, and he had some hang-ups because, remember, he wasn't even married. And why do you even go to church? I'll tell you why. To mess churches up. You know what the Apostle Paul said? We didn't give them 60 minutes. They had 59 minutes to pack up their Bibles and their literature and their invitations and their phony smile and get on down the road. Maybe you've wondered, whatever happened to this brother or that sister who came to our church a few times? Because you remember, oh, they were such sweet people. They smiled so pretty and talked so nice about Brother Bob in public. You say, well, where'd Brother So-and-so go? He's such a nice man. He was a creep is what he was. That's why he's not here. You just never saw him without his seducing clothes on. You just never heard him talk about you and our church and the doctrines and the standards of and our Bible and what we're trying to do for the Lord. You never heard that. You say, why? Because he's fishing. He's casting that line, trying to reel you in. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And verse number 1. But there were false prophets also. Okay, now look, where were they? Among the people. Okay, I mean, a false prophet out in the middle of a desert, that's not a threat to anybody. Where does the devil send false prophets? Among the people. Okay, now look. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. Okay, now where are the false teachers? They're trying to get in the church. That's where they want to be. Who privately, look, there it is again. They're sneaky, unawares, crept in privately. See, these guys, they're not out front. They're not out in the open. I'll give you a good example. If you visit our church and you want to know what we believe, we're going to tell you exactly what we believe. If you want the details, we can point you to our website, and you can click on the little tab that says Our Beliefs. Nothing sneaky, no secrets. It's laid out so anybody can plainly see what we believe here in Bible Believers Baptist Church. Well, compare that to the radio evangelist who broadcasts coast to coast, and in 365 days of his broadcasts, not once does that man let you know that he is a Seventh-day Adventist who believes that if you eat meat and you go to church on Sunday, you're going to go to hell. Now, why won't he ever tell you that? Listen, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, why don't you say so? If you believe that eating meat will cost you your soul, say so. If you believe that going to church on Sunday will damn you to hell, say so. Why doesn't a man get on the radio and tell you what he believes? Because he's a creep on the radio. That's why. It's the same reason the two little boys in the white shirts, they don't knock on your door and say, I'm trying to get six wives so that when I get up there and start my own planet, I can have a bunch of spirit babies with all kinds of heavenly babes. No, they'll come knock on their door and tell you they got a strong emphasis on family. All right? And do they ever. Extended family. Now listen, you got to watch somebody who will tell you in a whisper in his living room what he believes, but he doesn't want everybody in the church house to know what he told you. Something's not right there. Now, what's the problem? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now look, they are purchased. They're bought, but they deny the one that purchased them the privilege of being their Lord. There it is. Well, I don't know what else to do with it. Let's just go to the next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Friends, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have a hard enough time living right. I have a hard enough time staying straight, staying clean, without hanging around a bunch of people who say they're saved, telling me that it doesn't matter if I live right, and it doesn't matter if I'm clean. I don't need that kind of encouragement. No, you know what I need? I need somebody who's going to prop me up and help me to stand. Not somebody who's going to push me down. I don't need that. I'll fall on my own, okay? I don't need you pushing me. I need some help standing up. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. Okay, now look, what's in view? Chastity. Now, are we going to be presented to Jesus Christ? Sure we are. But the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, he's concerned about our condition when we are presented. You know, I want you clean. I want you chaste. I want you pure. I want you living right. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see that? Satan, he didn't come at Eve and say, hey honey, I'm here to drag your soul to hell. He came at Eve and he said, are you sure that's what God really meant? Are you really sure that you have to take that literally? What do you mean you can't eat of that tree? Sounds like somebody's just trying to put rules on you, trying to tie you down. What kind of God is that? He won't let you eat of the tree? I mean, what's so bad about eating the fruit of a fruit tree? Have you heard him? Have you ever heard the voice of that serpent? Well, I don't see what's wrong with it. I don't see what's so bad about it. I don't see why you have to do that. I know a lot of Christians who don't do that, and God didn't do anything to them. just slither on back right where you came from. Amen. Now look at this. Look in verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, okay, the Jesus who saved you, did he sin? The Jesus that saved you, was he holy? The Jesus that saved you, did he do always those things that pleased the Father? Well, then who is this coming along telling you that all of a sudden Jesus doesn't care about holiness and righteousness and sin? Somebody's presenting a different Jesus than the one who saved you. It goes on, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received. All right? This one's real simple. Okay? What spirit did you receive when you got saved? The Holy Spirit. Well, then, you'd better watch out for somebody who tells you that you can be in the Spirit and not be holy. That is a messenger sent from the devil. People say, oh, that brother Bob, he's against drinking. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I'm for or against. I'm reporting what the Bible says about it. Brother Bob, he's against immorality. Wasn't up to me. I didn't have a say in the matter. I'm reporting what God says about immorality. You know why people say that brother Bob? You know why they say that? Because they don't dare say, oh, that God in heaven. So they try and make it out like the preacher just invented those things. Because they don't dare curse God to his face. But they'll curse the preacher. All right, the next one is in the Old Testament, book of Proverbs. Chapter 16. How are you enjoying this study so far? I told you it was rough. Proverbs chapter 16. You say, preacher, I've been working out there in that world all week and I come to church. I want to get lifted up here. Well, I work out there in that world too. And I realize, yeah, we're outnumbered. But we need to come to church to be reminded that we have to take those guys on. Because if we don't get a frequent reminder like this, we'll start to lean their way ever so slightly. I need reinforcement, don't you? Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Okay. Now, does that say pride goeth before destruction unless you're saved? It says pride goeth before destruction. And it doesn't say and an haughty spirit before a fall unless you've been born again. It says a haughty spirit precedes a fall. That's what you can expect. Now, why are these people so dangerous? Because they are going to try and get you to exalt your feelings or your opinions or your view of things above what God said. And if you buy into that, you are going to take a very hard fall. That's what the Bible says. Okay, let's get some context on this stuff. Now, Acts chapter 26. And then John 18. Acts chapter 26 and John chapter 18. I think we ought to be truthful in our advertising, don't you? Truth in advertising. No fine print, no asterisk at the bottom of the page, no hidden details for the transaction, just everything out front and in the open. That's the way it ought to be. Somebody comes in and says, preacher, we're looking for a church to go to. Okay, fine. What are you looking for? Well, preacher, what do you believe about Santa Claus? A lot of people, they have, different views on that. I mean, and ours is probably different from some places you've been. But, for the most part, we just kind of, why don't you say it? I'm not running for office. Okay, I'm the preacher. Well, we're looking for a church. What do you believe about Santa Claus? He's a lie. There isn't one. Simple. The truth is simple. Okay? And then ask them, do you believe there is one? That'd be interesting to hear their answer. but it's easy. You say, yeah, but if you tell people that, they won't come back. Who won't come back? The people that are sick and tired of being lied to? And people that are tired of going to church and finding the world there in the church? I think that bunch will come back. Well, preacher, what do you believe about Bible translations? We certainly believe there's room for a variety of opinions, and we have ours, and we think ours is strongly supported, and blah, 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 blah. Man, it's like listening to some senator at a press conference trying not to answer a question. What do you think about the Bible issue? There is no issue. There's one God, one Holy Spirit, one salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Bible. And guess which one it is? And you know what? They can always guess. I bet you're going to say the King James. Okay? I never told anybody yet we believe there's this one Bible and one, but that we believe is the Word of God, and then had them say, oh, is it the New American Standard? No, you know something? If you don't believe the King James, everybody knows you don't believe anything. And if you say you believe there's one, everybody knows which one it is. So why not just go ahead and tell them? If they hang around for 4 weeks and then you finally break the news or you accidentally spill the beans that you're King James, and then they get mad and leave after 4 weeks of sitting there, you've wasted a whole month of their life. Just go ahead and tell them up front. Now, I'm not going to throw you out of here if you don't believe the King James Bible. If you're here today and you were smoking marijuana yesterday, I'm not going to throw you out of here. If you're here today and you were dancing in the disco to the oldies station yesterday, I'm not going to throw you out. But I'll tell you this, we're not going to refrain from preaching against sin just so sinners can be comfortable. You can't do that. All right, look at Acts 26. Acts 26, you don't help anybody that way. I mean, if you go to the hospital, you just want them to tell you what's wrong. Why? Because you want to get better. Now, why is it that we feel that way about our bodies but not about our soul? Some of you came out of a liberal church. Some of you came out of a charismatic church. Some of you came out of some other kind of church. You know why you were so thrilled when you got here? Because people had been running tests on you for years, but nobody ever told you what was wrong. And then you finally got to a place where you could sit in front of an open Bible, and the Holy Spirit could say, there's the problem right there, and there's the cure. And now you could get better. Now, I'm not all right, but I want to get better, don't you? All right, Acts 26, verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. People say, I wish I could get results like Paul did. Well, I get those results sometimes. Verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ taught what he believed and said what he stood for openly and publicly, so there was no doubt about it. Why? Because he wasn't a creep. He was a righteous man. All right, John chapter 18. John chapter 18. You say, I don't like that name-calling business. Well, you're not going to like the book of Jude. John 18, verse number 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. Now that's how it ought to be right there. That's how it ought to be. Here's what I don't understand about these people. If they're honest and sincere, why would they ever attend a church where they know they don't agree with the doctrinal positions of your church? And the fact that they want to attend a church where they know they're not in agreement with the leadership proves that they are only there to contend with the leadership. That's why the leadership is told to earnestly contend with them. These are men, they'll come into your church, they'll make nice and get close with the church members, except for the pastor or any of the leaders in the church that might see through their disguise. And then when you're not looking, the first chance they get, they'll go behind your back after infiltrating one of your ministries and try to undermine that ministry by mocking and ridiculing your church's position on the King James Bible or some other aspect of doctrine, while at the same time they continue to attend your church services pretending to be one of you. Talking about a saved man, loves the Lord, but he's a creep. See, here's why God wrote the book of Jude. Because we have a tendency to give somebody that we like a break at the expense of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what ruined Methodism. That's what ruined the evangelicals among the Presbyterians. That's what ruined the Southern Baptist Convention. That's what ruined the Plymouth Brethren. The willingness to give a man a break at the expense of the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we'd probably get a lot of debate on this if we took a vote on it. It would probably be pretty close. But for the most part, I'm a pretty nice guy. Really. Really, I mean, that's the way I see it. In fact, some of you might think I'm too tolerant with people and you believe I let them off too easy. And I do sometimes. I do. You know that. Listen, just about every one of you knows there's something in your life that I know about. And I'm not giving you any grief about it. And I'm not running all over the place telling everyone. You know that. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have put too much labor and shed too many tears and spent too many hours and too much heart into building this church, not this place, but this body of believers right here, to let somebody who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ ought to be on the throne come in here and tear the thing all to pieces. You can't let that happen. And that's what the book of Jude says. Now, if you've got a problem with that Bible, we'll help you. If you've got a problem with that dope, we'll help you. If you've got a problem with that temper, we'll help you. If you've got a problem with that cursing, we'll help you. If you've got a problem with that laziness, we'll help you. But when you start telling people it's all right, we're not going to help you do that. Because it's not all right. It is not all right. You know what the gospel is? Christ died for our sins and was buried, and the third day rose again according to the scriptures. Jesus went to that cross because sin was that offensive to God. And it still is, even if you're saved. He doesn't want you to sin. And you need to beware of anyone who tells you otherwise. You need to beware. All right, so this concludes my uplifting message for today. I hope you feel better now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for warning us, for helping us to know exactly what to be looking for in these creeps and how they behave and when they sneak in. Father, we pray that you'll help us not to give in to their ways or the things they're teaching or trying to teach. Lord, help us to not even give them 1 hour before we get rid of them. Lord, I pray that everyone in this church is in the same way of thinking, that we're united in our thoughts here on this matter, because it's in agreement with your word. And I pray, Lord, you'd strengthen us, help us, Lord, to always be on guard for these things, but also, Lord, to be trying to be a help to those who are in sin and need your forgiveness. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.